Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The gospel that we just read, I'd like to read just a few verses starting in 32. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. This is God's Word. Now, just for the record, the following is fictitious. These people do not actually, are not a part of my family. So, but with that said, tomorrow, Uncle Jimmy will be over. It's news because he hasn't been around for these past years because of his girlfriend. But I think she's out of the picture, so he probably will be over tomorrow. Not that really anyone's excited to see him. He's one of those people that just hates the establishment of everything. We've long ago learned the phrases to get him going. And it seems like every time we see him, there is some new establishment, some new institution that's the source of the world's problems. And he groans on and on for hours. I ask him about God. And he'll tell you that if he actually exists, he's abandoned us a long time ago. Now that's Uncle Jimmy. And I wish I could say he was the exception in our family, but I can't. In fact, he's probably the sanest of the bunch. My cousin Kathy is as far from normal as the East is from the West. And it's understandable because of her past. She came from a broken home, and she was abused with alcohol and who knows what else. And her parents were unloving, and she doesn't talk to them any longer. But she does talk about them when asked. She says that she's focused on finding and healing herself, but that seems not to include God. Now, I've asked her about that once, and her reply was simply that he didn't protect her, so she wants nothing to do with him. Of course, then there's Grandpa Bob. He has a lot of money. Though we really don't know what he actually does to earn it. But he's generous with it, and it's clear to everyone that his wealth is his main focus in life. And he's long since abandoned God in pursuit of more money and more power. Now, I'd like to introduce you to just one more person. It's another cousin. It's David. And he lives a perfect life. Just ask him. He'll tell you. He keeps a record of every time he attends church, every time he prays, every time he opens his Bible, and who knows what else. And you can pick him out of our family because he's the one that will be talking about the good work that he just completed for God's poor people. Or how he gave more in a recent donation than that guy that was sitting in front of him. And he often says that when he gets to heaven, God is going to need an eternity just to read off all the good things that he has done. Now, here's the thing. When we gather around the table tomorrow, we'll look at each other and we'll smile. And we won't let on that deep down inside of us is the real us, the broken us. The us that doesn't trust the Sunday pastor who says that God is in control, even in this time of broken government, racial divides, and injustice. And unlike, just like Uncle Jimmy, we have abandoned trust in him and have resigned to the fact that this world is falling apart and hope can only be found in us. Now, it may not look exactly like Uncle Jimmy. It may not be that obvious. But there is some sort of similarity in every single one of us. Each one of us has some insecurity, some thing that we believe unique to ourselves, something that we believe God can't help us resolve, something that he just can't forgive, or even worse, something that God has no interest in resolving or addressing. You see, we identify that gap in our life, that one place in our life that we think is just not important enough for God to really care about. And so we won't let go of the feelings of despair or isolation or loneliness that we cling to, because we see these problems as ones that we can resolve. We hold on to them and we lie to ourselves that we can fix them without God's help, or that we must fix them because God won't. Now, tonight we read the gospel passage, and if we're not careful, we miss God's message to us. Most of those verses are about loving our enemies, doing good by them, asking for nothing in return. And we focus on that lesson because it consumes so much of that passage. And we do the same thing in life, right? We focus on that which consumes most of our time or our energy. But you see, sometimes God speaks in a much quieter voice. Sometimes his message is not proclaimed through many verses, but stated simply through one. And tonight is such a time. The very last verse of the passage simply says, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." See, this is the message: to show mercy, to do mercy, just like the Father did towards us. He had every reason to withhold it from you, every reason to treat you like the enemy. And he had every reason to do the same thing with me. And he would have been justified doing that. After all, we are the ones that turned from him. We are the ones that rejected and despised him. But he showed us mercy. Mercy beyond measure. He loved his enemies. He loved us. And he did good by sending Jesus to the cross to pay for the sins of the world. He went to the cross for Uncle Jimmy, knowing that he would continue to turn away and try to make it on his own. And he went to the cross for Grandpa Bob, thinking that his money would be more important than Christ's work. And he suffered and he died for David, even though David believes that his works can replace Christ's. You see, and the list goes on and on. Every person at the table has something that they just can't let go of. Something that they cannot leave at the cross. But Jesus still died for them, even if they can't realize it. And that is where we come in. Because we do realize it. We realize our standing before God apart from Christ. We realize that we are condemned to die, eternally separated from God. And we realize that we are broken and in need of a master repairer. And we realize that we cannot fix our problems on our own, even the ones that we know we should, but can't. So tonight's message is about us gathering around the Thanksgiving table and knowing, really knowing that at that moment, at that table, with all of the angst, with all of the despair, Jesus comes. He comes to us in our brokenness. He comes to us in our anger. And He comes to us in our shame. And He calls us His brothers and His sisters. He comes to us in mercy. This Advent, we will look at the genealogy of Jesus and what we will do when we peer into the lives of some of those people is find that they too are sinful, that they too carry shame. But we'll find also that Jesus came through them for us. And He calls us to His table. And around His table, we experience forgiveness and mercy and grace. And around His table, we experience His love. And after that meal, a meal where in His grace He shows us mercy and forgiveness, He then sends us out. After leaving His Thanksgiving table, He sends us to ours. And He asks that we show others the same mercy and the same grace. He asks me to show Uncle Jimmy that God is in control, even when the world seems to say otherwise. And He asks me to show Grandpa Bob that Christ is more trustworthy than any amount of money. And He asks me to bring the message of Christ's healing to Kathy. She needs to know that He suffered and that He is there, right there in her suffering. This is what He asks of me. And for you, tomorrow, as you view your table full of food, He asks that you remember Christ's table. It's full of healing, and it's full of mercy, and it's full of love. And He asks that each one of you, me included, will fill the plates of those around us with all that He has to offer. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are reminded tonight of your endless mercy and love for us. We are so thankful for the sacrifice that you made for the forgiveness of our sins, and we look forward to the feast that we will one day share with you in heaven. Lord, Isaiah wrote that you'll prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. And on this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, and he will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. Lord, we long for this day. In your name we pray. Amen.